As you know, we are in a series called Great Faith. Okay. Next, just turn to the next person to you and just say, Great Faith. Okay. So we have been this series for, this is the third one. So we just did it for the past 2 weeks. And I just want to, because we have some new coming people here. So I just want to give you a recap of what we talk in this series. And can I have the pointer? Okay. So we just talk about a different character of in the Bible, that how they have great faith. Working? All right. Okay. So we talk about a different story. The first week we talk about some believers that they were in the persecution. And Poseng talk about how the author of the book of Hebrew, I will talk later on more about this book, encourage the people to stand in faith and not shrinking back. And the second week, we talk about another character of the Bible, Enoch. And we talk how Enoch actually walked with God. So he is a great example of faith, that fellowship with God, walk with God. So this is what we already talk, but we also talk about what is faith. It back to this question. What is faith? When we say that faith, what is faith? So before I explain for you biblical faith, I am sure each one of us here in our life, in some point, we have faith. We walk with faith. Maybe we don't realize it, but we walk by faith. It takes faith. Every morning you go to your car and start the engine of the car, right? You never open the engine, right, to make sure everything is right, and then you start the car. So it takes faith to start your car every day. So it takes faith to go to a restaurant and eat food. Of course, some of the restaurant requires more faith when you go. So it takes faith to go and eat. You never go to the kitchen. You never go and check who is the chef. But you eat by faith. And also, it's not about only we just go and restaurant and start our car. It's about sometimes we don't understand the things, but we live by faith. So you go and switch on the light by faith. You never see the electricity, but you go and switch on the light by faith. So there is a video I want to show you, but before the video, even in the company, maybe you guys come from different company. Maybe you also exercise like a trust, building trust to one another. And maybe you have different exercise. So I want to just show you a video that see how these people actually do the exercise to build trust.
Fall, and it'll be an exercise in building trust between one another. So Harrison, if you don't mind going first, step up here on this chair and close your eyes. All right, and then everybody fill in, and we're going to ask you to fall, and then they will catch you. So you have to trust us. So I'm going to count to three. Just relax and fall, okay? One, two, three. No, wait, no, no!
Okay. All right. He actually go the wrong side. Anyway, but thanks God that our God is not like that. He never let us to fall. He always take care of us. He always be with us. So this is about faith, but what is biblical faith? So by looking for biblical faith, I want just take you to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. So in the book of Hebrews, there is a background. Poseng already explained for you the background of the book and the author of the book. So because of the time, I don't go through for that, but we go for this verse. Hebrews 11:1, it said, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That's faith. That's biblical faith, which means that we have an assurance of something. So this word in the New Testament, the assurance means a stand on something. That's why I request for a chair. So it's like a stand on something, and you are very sure. So I know this chair. I know that we got it. So I just go there. I have assurance. So I stand on something that I'm very assured. So the idea here is we assure of God's word. That's why we stand on God's word. We stand on God's word and we believe that. And also it says the conviction of things not seen, which means that we are being convinced, we are being certain, even though we cannot see that. So the idea here, we stand on something and we are being certain even though we cannot see. That's faith. We are assured of our salvation. We are assured of God's word. We are assured of God loves us. We are assured. And that's why we are also convinced God's promises. We are convinced that God's promises will come to pass. God is going to fulfill His promises in our lives. That's faith. So maybe we are in the current realities, and some of the things in our life is very uncertain. Maybe you are in a situation that is very difficult for you, and it seems very foggy, you cannot see ahead. But you have God's word. That's why you stand on God's word. And you believe that even though you cannot see, it's come to your life. There was a lady in our church back to Iran. This lady was in the middle age, about maybe 40, 45. And she came to Christ amazingly. Her story was powerful. Actually, she came through her son-in-law and her daughter to our church, introduced by them to us. And then we met her, and after, you know, she had a lot of questions. She came to Christ. She came to Christ. She came to church. She really wholeheartedly praised, you know, just worship Jesus and be with us, go for discipleship and all those. But she had a problem. The problem was the husband. And the husband actually beaten her up every night because of her faith. And we could see all of the signs. We could see all the bruises. You know, in the eyes, in her body. And we talked to her and said, you know, it's okay if you cannot make it to come to church. Because your husband beaten you up because you come to church. Because you worship God. It's okay. You can be in your house or you can be in the place that you want. We come and see you. We bring church to you. But she said, no. No, Pastor. I want to come. And I want to stand. Because I read in the Bible that when I got saved, my household also would save. We'd be saved. And I believe for this word that my family, my husband, one day come to Christ. I believe that. And my job is love her. Love him. And she loves him. Despite of all these things that happened, she loves. And you know what? After, I think, 2 years, the husband came to Christ. Wow. That's faith. That's faith. In her situation, all the things was very difficult, tough. But she had faith. And she stood on God's word. And she was so convinced that the promise of God is going to be fulfilled in her life. That's faith. So that's a biblical faith that we already talked. And as I earlier mentioned to you, We talk a different character. And I love this one from Hussein. So I put it here. Hussein, I just borrow it from you. So we need great faith to meet great challenges. Faith is absolute trust in a loving and powerful God to fulfill all promises. That's faith. But today, I want to just talk about another character of faith from the book of Hebrews. And this is Noah. And because of the time, you know, I just want to go very fast and share with you what is in my heart and about faith. So the faith of Noah. So we just go to the book of Hebrews 11 again, but this time in verse 7. It's only one verse given to Noah. So by faith, Noah, being warned by concerning event as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Let me just also share this. Faith has some action. It's not itself faith. I say that. So it's not about only saying that I have faith. It's about action. And if you go and review all the characters in the book of Hebrews, you see that the Bible says constantly by faith, and you see an action. By faith, an action. By faith, again, action. So faith actually comes with action. So here is Noah. Noah being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen. Maybe you ask, what kind of event? What was the event? What was the incident that happened to Noah? Because here is very encrypted, very summarized. And I want to take you to the book of Genesis by understanding this passage. In the book of Genesis, in chapter 6, it's a story of Noah. And because of the time, we don't go through for all the story and incident. But I just put it for you, verses 5, 7, and another verse. So in verse 5, the Bible says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land. Man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens. For I am sorry for that I have made them. The other verse in 11 to 12, it said, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh corrupted in their way on the earth. So you see all these verses. Give us a list of what's happening at that time, the time of Noah. In the time of Noah, we see extreme wickedness. We see extreme evil. Every intention, every thought, it was evil. So if you go and read it, the chapter 6, and see that, you see that every aspect of human's nature actually was corrupted, depraved, extreme violence, corruption. So all these things actually happened in the time of Noah. And I would say in summary, the people doesn't want to follow God. They have an ungodliness life. They didn't want to obey God. They have their own way. They twisted everything. They redefine everything, all the words. If you go on back and read, especially from verse 1 to 5, you see that the people actually have a kind of sexual perversion. And all the people just change, redefine marriage, redefine, you know, sexuality, redefine everything, redefine the way that they need to do the business. They redefine and they just change it to the way that they want. That's wickedness. So their heart was full with evil. That was the time that Noah lived. But in the midst of these kind of things, wickedness, evil, violence, the Bible says, but Noah find favor in the eyes of the Lord. That's amazing. So imagine, in the midst of wickedness, in the midst of all these things, corruption, evil, in the midst of the people really doesn't want to follow God, obey God, the Bible says, Noah find favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God, and Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. That's Noah. Noah was a righteous man, the man that stood up for God. He didn't go with the flow. He didn't go. And he just do the way that God wants. So that's Noah. So the righteous man, blameless, and also walk with God. Righteous man, righteousness means the right conduct, the right character, which means that it points to those people that have a kind of life that is it's in really in the God's standard. And also, blameless means integrity. So imagine Noah in the midst of ungodliness, extreme evil, corruption, violence. He walked with God and he had integrity with the people and he has very, very close relationship with God. And imagine, Noah, as he walked with God, he heard God's voice. How many of you believe that when you're really close to God and walk with God, you can hear God's word? You can. And Noah, in that time, alone, exactly opposite of the flow, he walked with God, and God spoke to him and said, Noah, come. I'm going to just wipe out everything. You just make an ark. I will tell you more about the ark. It's not a ship. It's not a boat. He said, you build an ark. And even God gave Noah exactly how he needed to build the ark. The size, the dimension, everything. And he said, you just made it, you just built, and save your family. So what did Noah do? Noah gave this message from God. And if you just go back and read the time of Noah, Noah lived in a place that was about few hundreds away from the sea, from the ocean. It was like a wilderness. And you know, if you also go back, before flood, there was no rain. So for everyone was very weird, even for him also weird. Rain? Flood? What was that? And build a boat, a big boat. Because ark here, in Hebrew, it's box. Let me just talk a little bit about the ark. That's the size of the ark. You see cubits. It's the size of the ark that you can see. 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. And you know, you could fit 20 basketball courts taller than a three-story building. Could hold 120 to 125,000 sheep. in the ark. And 3.1 million board foot of timber. So that's the animation. You can see that's the ark. And you can see it's more than the size of a football field. It's only an Audi car. It's an Airbus. It's a double or three-story house. And it's the biggest submarine in the U.S. That's the ark. And imagine. God, imagine by yourself. God come to you. Say, hey, Daniel. These days is very wicked. Everyone just follow, you know, what they want. Now you build an ark. So imagine. And you know, this is only an example. The ark was a box. It wasn't a boat. It was a, when you go back and read the Hebrew word, it's the box. It's a shoebox shape. As you see, that's like a box. So make a box and save your family. How many of you feel that that's a weird message from God? Doesn't make sense, God. Thank you. I want to just live my life. I want to just enjoy with my children. It's okay. I know that it's a very ungodliness, you know, corrupted or very extreme violence. But I just want to have my life. But what did Noah do? The Bible says that was Noah's response. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. And you know how many years it took for Noah to build the ark? 120 years. When I was studying this verse and this passage, I just imagined it by myself. So imagine the first 10 years, you are just building. You are just building. You just go and gather all the this, you know, timber and bring it and just building. 20 years pass. 30 years pass. 40 years pass. And the people come to you and said, what are you doing, Daniel? Well, I'm building a boat or an ark because it would be a flood. I said, flood? What is the flood? How you spell it? How you actually, how you write it, flood? F-L-A-D? Or what was that? So the people actually just ridicule Noah. Imagine. Because I was just imagining by myself. Very, very nonsense message. Weird message. And now, Noah just doing that by faith. Because he heard God's word. As he heard God's word, he began to obey. So listen to this. You come here for worship time. You hear the message. You read the Bible, all this stuff is good. But now it begs to this question. Are you obeying God? Are you obeying God? When you go to the point of your marriage and you read the Bible, that how God instructs about the marriage, are you obeying God? When the Bible talks about how we can do business, how we can have integrity, are you obeying God? When it comes to the point that God asks us to have purity in our life, are we obeying God? It's good to listen. Noah also listened. Noah also heard God's word. But he did an action. He obeyed God. He obeyed God. Great faith demands great obedience. You need to have obedience in your life. Because without obedience, you can't. You cannot move forward. How do we respond by looking at the life of Noah? As we look at the life of Noah, we see these three things: complete obedience, immediate obedience, and heartfelt obedience. Obedience cannot be partially. I love this part of the Bible that talk about, you know, blessing, prosperity, but I really don't like this part that talk about purity. It doesn't make sense. It's very old school. Or we just say that, I like this part. Wow, that's great. Blessing, miracle. But it's come to the point of, okay, now you need to obey God in your marriage. Respect your husband. Respect your wife. You say, oh, I don't like this part. It should be immediate. We cannot play with it. When we heard God's word, we cannot play with God's word. And we just postpone it. No, it's not the time. It's not the time. I don't want, okay, I just postpone it later. And it's about heartfelt obedience. It's not something that we have to, we want to. We want to. Many years back, I had two choices in my life. I was a new believer. Just saved 1 year. Not much thing, you know about God and you know about the Bible. I read it every day. I pray to God. But I had two choices. I have two options, actually. I need to choose one of them. One was working in Dubai, because I work a very good job being a coordinator in Dubai in a very good company. And actually, they asked me to go and join. Very good place. With a good condition. And another job was in a factory in the middle of the desert in Tehran. Two jobs. And you know, after I just go and explore the factory and I see the factory, that one, being a product manager of that factory. But for the other one was, you know, coordinator, you have your car, you know, at that time in 2000, you know, having your cell phone, you know, your everything provided for me. And I went and explored the factory and I said, man, that's so tough. It's in the middle of this desert and I don't want to come. And then thinking of Dubai, after, you know, I evaluate, my choice, my decision was going to Dubai. So I asked my wife. So my wife began to pack everything, you know, provide, you know, all the things that I needed to be done. But the agreement with that company was I needed to get a flight from Emirates that provided 3 month visa. Because at that time for my country, flight to Dubai, there was two options, you know, from Emirates Airlines. One was like a 2 weeks visa, very, very short. Another one was 3 months, getting 3 months. And it was more expensive, but that was the agreement with that company that I needed to go with that flight. Because I needed to be there for a while and then apply for everything. So it couldn't be done in 2 weeks. I needed to be there for 3 months and then go for all the documents and the process. So after I decided to go to Dubai. The night before I go to agency and get the ticket, all of a sudden, it just come to my heart and to my mind. Hey, I made my decision. I do everything, but I never prayed. I didn't pray. I didn't ask. I didn't ask God, God, what's your idea? What's your will? What's your desire? What do you want me to do? I never asked. I made my decision. So in that night, I prayed. And I was a new believer. My prayer was very simple. God, I don't know. I don't know the way. I don't know which one is better. But please shut the door as it's not from you. In Jesus' name. That was my prayer. So the next day, I went to the agency to get my ticket. I went with my friend. My friend was an unbeliever, so we went together and we sit down and asked the lady to to get the ticket to me. So I asked, okay, I want to have a ticket to go into Dubai. And he said, which day you want, sir? I said, this day, as early as possible. And then he said, yeah, this day. And, you know, he checked, yeah, we have. I said, okay, one seat, everything check. And then I said, that's the price. So she mentioned a price to me. When she mentioned a price, I realized that that's cheap. I said, how come in this country something just drop and become cheap? I said, no, sir, it's the same price. I said, no, I already checked. And it was another price, another rate. And said, what kind of rate and what kind of flight you are looking for? I said, the one that Emirates give a 3-month visa. I want that one. And said, oh, sorry, sir. Since 2 days ago, we got a fax from UAE. And they said that we already stopped all the visas for 3 months with the further notice. Door closed. So I just look at my friend. I said, my friend told me, so what you are going to do? I said, I am going to back to factory. I said, oh, you are crazy. I said, you just try, you know, you go and see this one. Maybe you can go for another route, go to Turkey, Istanbul, and then, you know. He said, hey, you know, maybe it doesn't make sense for you, but I pray to God. He already answered me not to go. And I remember the day after I was reading the Bible, and I just see in the book of Matthew 28, 19 to 20, that go and make disciple and just do these things. And it just come to my, oh, in my nation, there are a lot of works. So I obey God. And as I obey God, God used me in my nation. So my obedience leads me to God's mission. Let me tell this, it's very important. As you obey God, it's not only for obedience. It's not ultimate goal. Yes, we believe God, we trusted God, so that's why we, as I mentioned to you, completely, immediately, and with heartfelt, we obey God. But it's not the end, because God is going to use you. You become the preacher of the gospel. You see here, this is what Noah left as a legacy. Thousands of years later, Peter wrote this letter and he said, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. That's the thing that I want to share with you. As you obey God with all of your heart, God leads you to mission. Because it's your life, it's your lifestyle that preach. It's not just only words that come from your mouth. It's your life. It's your lifestyle that preach. So Noah's life, in summary, heard God's word, obey God's word, preach God's word. So Noah heard God's word, he obeyed, he preached. Just say it after me. Heard, obeyed, preach. That's the way. That's the summary of Noah's life. So I just want to ask you to stand up, all of you, as we are going to end the service, and as I ask the musician if they are around to come, maybe only, you know. I want to ask you to just think of your life. Maybe you have some area in your life that you have a struggling to obey God. You know better. It's the presence of God. You just close your eyes and think of yourself and think of your life. Which part of your life you need to really obey God? And you know, Noah was a righteous man. was blameless because of God's favor. He didn't earn the grace of God. He found the grace of God. And I want to encourage you as you come here, especially those that is the first time that you come. It's not about earning the grace of God. Noah found the grace of God. And then he walked with God because he loves the Lord. And I want to encourage you as you come here. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the one that you can put your trust and walk. And as you walk, can obey. For those that is the first time, I want to encourage you to really come and try and taste the goodness of God. And let Jesus come to your heart and see Jesus. And then you are able to walk with God. You are able to be a righteous man or woman and blameless. And God is going to even give you grace and strength even to obey. And for those, it's not the first time it's you come here. Maybe you have a struggle, you have some struggling in your life to obey God. Maybe in the area of marriage. If you are single, maybe in the area of purity. Or maybe in your business. This is the time. That's God's word to you. That you can follow Him as you hear His voice, can obey, and you can preach. You can have a mission from God to follow Him. So you just think of your life, which area. It's not really obedience. And tonight, you surrender to God. I say, God, I want to just make a decision. I want to follow You. I want to obey You in this area of my life. I want to obey You. I want to follow You as Noah followed You. Maybe in my workplace, everyone just go with the flow. I don't want to go with the flow. Maybe in the marriage, everyone just give advice that this is the best marriage or all this ungodliness advice. But tonight, I want to just surrender my marriage, my relationship. And maybe some of you have some problem with forgiveness. You cannot forgive the people. The Bible says, forgive. Forgive. As God forgives you. So, as the worshiper actually sing a song, you just surrender that area that is not submitted to God. And you are not obeying. And ask God and said, God,